Chapter 11 Why Meditation Retreat Closing talk on the final day of the 6-day intensive meditation retreat. This 6-day retreat is a short one, but it has some unique qualities of its own. The timetable has been arranged in close consultation with Dr. Leo Jordan, in whose residence we have been holding this retreat. To fit everything within the 6 days you are on holiday. The setup of this retreat is based around my experiences in London. It's not meant to be overambitious, but relies on gradual but regular practice. The emphasis is on being a regular meditator. The aim is to reduce anxiety at work and in daily life. The sitting session on the first day was only 20 minutes. Since then, you have gradually progressed to 30 and then 45 minutes without feeling too much pressure from the duration of the session. In the majority of the meditation centers, alternative sessions of sitting and walking meditation of 1 hour, sometimes even 2 hours, at a stretch, is standard practice. Some even have up to 3 hours as a standard session. Here, however, we have started with 30 minutes of sitting meditation alternating with 30 minutes of walking meditation. I have purposely made this retreat quite different from the other retreats in which I have taken part. One significant difference in this retreat is the interviews held with the meditators. These individual interviews have taken place 4 times a day because one of the main aims of taking part in a retreat is to learn the techniques of meditation. Completing a 10-day retreat once in your life is hardly sufficient. A 10-day or 1-month retreat will not produce a miracle. Applying the techniques that you have learned during the 10-day or 1-month retreat to your life, to your daily activity, is what is important. Meditation retreats in Asia, in Burma, Thailand, and Sri Lanka. It was only after the World War II and in the second half of the 20th century that 10-day retreats gained popularity. Before that, few retreats like these were organized. It was through the encouragement and managerial abilities of learned and lay people. For example, in Burma, like Mr. Uthan Dang from the Mok Meditation Center, and Sir Uthin, the senator from the Mazi Meditation Center, that this 10-day retreat came within the reach of many people. Similarly, successful business people from middle-class background in Thailand and Sri Lanka brought their business management skills to help top meditation teachers organize retreats for lay people. When they started, they were not very widespread. However, now, even young children will attend short retreats during their school holidays. They have become rooted in modern Buddhist culture, just like temporary ordination of boys and girls in the summer. There are over 10 major techniques of Vipassana meditation currently in practice in Burma. And there are a few in Thailand and in Sri Lanka as well. So you should consider yourself very lucky to have been born in Burma, in Thailand, in Sri Lanka. Because of the common availability of meditation teachers and centers. However, it's up to individual whether he or she travels from the light into the dark. The light means in a way you have the opportunity, the dark means when you don't take the opportunity. Since we are born lucky, we have to live lucky, enjoying all the benefits of the Dharma, the teaching of the Buddha. Flexibility. Given the number of proven Vipassana meditation techniques, to get yourself affiliated to one particular technique and to shut yourself off from the rest is really a shame. All those techniques are excellent. They have been proven and accepted by many generations. If they were not valid, they would not have survived this long. In my opinion, we should select and adopt what is good from those techniques and use them to our benefit in a flexible way. It's not helpful to become attached to one particular technique and start degrading the others. It is actually harmful to look down on other techniques. If one becomes dogmatic, one begins to cause damage to all of the techniques, including the one to which you are affiliated. Flexibility is one of the main principles in the setup of this retreat. I did not seek to impose a single technique on anyone. Even the technique in breathing can vary, and it is so in Mahasi, in Moko, in Sunlun, and in Ajahn Chah tradition. The type of meditation which I would like to, but has not been possible to be included in this 6-day retreat, is the meditation on the four elements, also known as the Gadewan technique. To be able to practice this technique, you would need, in addition to time, to acquire some basic knowledge of the four elements first. Theoretical and practical understanding. Theoretical and practical understanding needs to be in balance as well. I have given priority to this in the setup of this retreat. In some retreats, the individual may only have the opportunity to discuss with the instructor just once or maybe 3 times in a whole week or 10 days. There may be some doubts requiring some discussion. Many discourses are record of the discussions which took place between the Buddha and the meditators. Some meditators do not progress because they lack this opportunity for discussion, although they may have many opportunities to listen to Dhamma talks. Listening to the Dhamma talk and experiencing what is said in this session are very important. The late Moko Xero, Venerable Akka Mahapandita Vimala, explained the Bodhisattva, the law of dependent origination, every single day in his meditation retreat. This is because he wanted people to gain the basic right views and attitudes. The 4 times a day interviews are based on that experience as well as my understanding of the importance of the 2 blessings in the Mangala Sutta in search of the true Dhamma. The 2 blessings are listening to the Dhamma and discussing of the Dhamma. Kalena Dhamma Savanam and Kalena Dhamma Sagaccha. You have been blessed with these 2 crucial factors during this retreat. Mindfulness emphasized. I have given first priority to sati mindfulness and secondary status to concentration samadhi. Mindfulness and not concentration is emphasized in Vipassana meditation. Concentration is to be acquired with unbroken and advanced mindfulness. I mentioned this in my letter to Dr. Leo Jordan. If we wish to practice Vipassana meditation, we have to base it on the Satipatthana Sutta, the discourse on the foundation of mindfulness. Of the many discourses, this one is most complete. In the Satipatthana Sutta, priority is given to sati awareness because it forms the basis as well as the principle of the practice. You will know whether effort and concentration are balanced through awareness. Whether or not confidence and understanding are balanced, you will also find out through awareness. That is why you require awareness, sati, some time called mindfulness. You will require this all the time. It is said there is never a surplus of mindfulness. In Satipatthana Vipassana meditation, sati or mindfulness is of the foundation. Although using the term Satipatthana, people, the practitioner, often emphasize more on the development of concentration, samadhi, rather than mindfulness, sati. In fact, this perhaps should be called Samadhipatthana rather than Satipatthana. We may not even realize what is happening because of the lack of adequate mindfulness. In order to realize the correct path, we require mindfulness, sati. The Buddha, as the ascetic Gautama studied under Alarakalama and Uddagarama Buddha, the two teachers who had developed the Sankhya Yoga philosophy, the ascetic Gautama, before becoming enlightened, acquired Arupajana, the third stage, with one teacher, and the fourth stage with another. Very high stage indeed. These were stages he reached through development of samadhi. These stages are very high attainments in themselves, no doubt. That was why Alarakalama and Uddagarama Buddha, together with their followers, were quite satisfied with their attainment, which provided them with peace, tranquility, and bliss. However, the ascetic Gautama realized that although he had attained a high level in his meditation, this was not the answer to the problem he had determined to solve. Having come to this conclusion, he left those two teachers and tried a different technique. He tried self-mortification, which was and is still practiced by the Jainas, the follower of Jainism in India. The ascetic Gautama had a great deal of concentration and meditated with a minimal intake of food and later without eating it at all. That also did not help him reach the goal of cessation of suffering. Eventually, he threw away the practice of self-torture, the ascetic practice as well. The unique character of Buddhist meditation, which is different from meditation practiced by other religions, is that mindfulness is given priority in everything and over everything else. The reasons for this are not only academic but also logical. That is why my intention was to emphasize mindfulness study throughout this retreat and not use as a meditation practice, which directly develops concentration. I know that at times it can be very difficult to sit and meditate without building up strong concentration first. Nevertheless, as we realize the difficulties and our reaction to these difficulties, it leads us to understand that these reactions are conditioned, exist when being conditioned again and again. That is possible to stop the conditioning process itself. Within these few days, I have also explained and instructed other types of meditation such as metta, loving kindness, Buddha anusati, meditation on the qualities of the Buddha, meditation on the impersonality of the body, and meditation on death. However, this is not all. It's merely the beginning. I have taught all these methods so that you will be able to continue with the meditation practice in your own time. Although you will not be able to see me every now and then, you can still contact me by telephone or email if there is anything you wish to ask and discuss. Meditation in daily life. The last aim of this short retreat was to introduce meditation into your daily life. You can meditate while leading a normal layperson's life. Some people like to meditate when in the meditation center or a temple, but as soon as they return home, they stop everything. This cannot be right. The temple should be regarded as the place where you study the Dhamma, and your home the place where you practice. What usually happens is just the opposite. People practice the Dhamma in the temple, where they stay for only a short period. They should practice the Dhamma at home, with their family, relatives, and friends, in the workplace, applying the principles that have been taught. Another thing which I would like to remind you about is the Noble Eightfold Path, Atthangika Magga. The Pali word Magga means path or a way, which is the pathway of life. Businessman, a professional, or a skilled worker who walks along this pathway will become a successful and prosperous person. The word Magga is usually translated as the Buddhist way of life and is composed of 8 factors. The human body is composed of various parts such as the heart, lungs, liver, kidney, skull, arms, legs, etc. Just one part does not make a human being. Only when all these combine does it form a human being. Likewise, just one component of the 8 factors does not form the path. Both mindfulness and concentration are part of this path. Only when all 8 factors, 8 components are present, does it construct the path, the pathway, and become the true path. This Magga Satya, the truth of the path, may be simply divided for practical purpose into Dana, generosity, Sila, ethical morality, and Bhavana, meditation. Usually people practice generosity and ethical morality, but leave out meditation. They tend to choose what they want to do and sometimes say, "Oh, the time is not yet right for me to do meditation." What happens then is that, because they pick and choose, this practice no longer becomes the right path and no longer meets the criteria of the 4 Noble Truths. Unless you are on the Noble Path, a real Magga, you are not practicing Buddhism. You may be giving, sharing, practicing generosity, but this cannot be regarded as Buddhist generosity. Although you may be donating something to a monk, to people, to an association, it may not be deemed to be in accordance with the Noble Eightfold Path. That is why it's very important for you to know and understand the Eightfold Path. What consists of the Eightfold Path? So please read books on the Noble Eightfold Path and listen to sermons on the Noble Eightfold Path by as many speakers as possible and read as many books related to the topic as possible. Put into practice what you have learned from the books and sermons, such as right understanding, right attitudes, right effort, and right mindfulness.